very slow, very slow.
Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And since it's our last chance for a while, alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Collecting ourselves for worship as Catholic priests have been doing for over a millennia, we pray together. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. O God, who on this day taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you from your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks
be to God.
This time, if they're so willing, I know there's only two of them, but Bryce and Gracie, are you willing to come up here and do a little homily with me? Are you willing to come up and help? Bryce is always up to help, let me tell you, and so is Gracie. So let's stand right here. I'm going to go get something to help. Okay, now Bryce and Gracie, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look out at these folks. I want you to look back at Bill back here. I want over that wall at the group of people back there. Okay. Now I want you to look at the altar. Okay. Tell me what's the one thing that all these things have in common? Can you see it? Let's practice again. Look out at the congregation. Look at what they're wearing. Okay. Now look at the choir back there. Look at what they're wearing. Now look at Bill. Look at what he's wearing. Now look at the altar, what it's wearing.
Red.
Yes. Why is it red? It's Pentecost. That's right. This is like, it's never red, right? It's usually green and green, and then there's more green, and then there's a little bit more green after that. And then it's like blue and purple, and then it's red, and then it's green again, right? That's usually how it goes, right? But red is this like anomaly. It's like this thing that happened all of a sudden and we didn't even know where it came from. Why do you think it's red today? You said, say it again, Gracie, real loud.
It's Pentecost.
So let me ask you this question. If you had to draw Pentecost, what would you draw? Fire, okay. You would just draw something red. Yeah, I mean, and that would work because it's such a red day. So I've got a present to help us understand why we're in red today. So I'm going to invite you two to sit down right here on these, on these little steps right here. And I'm going to see if I can do this so that the congregation can see it. If people need to stand up and look, that's fine too. But, you know, when we do godly play, sometimes we tell the stories that Jesus told. What do we call those stories? Starts with a P. Starts with a P-A-R-A. Parables. Remember parables? So when we tell the stories about the parables, the stories are in a box, and the box is usually gold. And the reason that that is because we believe that the parables are a precious gift. And so we go get the gold box and we open it up and we see. Well, today the gift is red. And Gracie, why is it red again? Because it's Pentecost. That's exactly right. Yeah. So I'm going to open the gift and see if there's something in here that can help us understand what this Pentecost thing is all about. Okay. So, of course, already what we got, something red, right? This could be like, what could this be? This could be a giant dog tongue. You think so? No. No? You think it's carpet?
Or a piece of cloth.
Yeah, I like that. I like that interpretation. Okay. I'm going to put it right down here. Okay. So I'm going to start this story a long, long time ago. Okay? Once upon a time, a group of people started building a tower. I'm going to have you help me here. Just put it down there anywhere. Perfect. Might even hit a little bit. Then there's this part of the tower. And they were building the tower, and everybody there, they were cooperating with each other because they all spoke the same language. And what they wanted was to build a tower so high that it reached up to the heavens, right? But then something weird happened all of a sudden. All of a sudden, as they were getting the tower taller and taller and taller, they stopped speaking the same language. They all started speaking different languages, and everybody got real confused. Guess what happened to the tower? Gracie, show us what happened to the tower. That's right, it just collapsed, it fell down. And so guess what they called that tower? Babel. Because everybody was sort of babbling, right? And so all of a sudden, there were different languages. And all those languages were beautiful languages, but none of them was the same. They were all different. They all had a little piece of that first language, but they were all different languages. So if we fast forward a long, long time, like let's just for argument's sake, we'll say a couple thousand years, which is a really long time. We go to a place called Jerusalem. Have you all heard of Jerusalem? Yeah, tell me one thing you know about Jerusalem. It's mentioned a whole lot in the Bible. Yeah. Yeah. It's a holy city. So there was a room there in Jerusalem. And Jesus' friends, sometimes we call them the disciples, sometimes we call them the apostles, Jesus' group of friends, they were in a room. But before they were in this room, they had spent a long time with Jesus doing miracles and healing people and feeding folks and visiting folks who were in trouble. And they had seen some wonderful and amazing things happen, right? One of the things that happened was that Jesus had been arrested and crucified. And that was very sad. And because that happened, they were afraid, and they were in the upper room. And they called it the upper room because it was above another room. Does that make sense? Yeah. So they were all there gathered in the room. I'm going to try to give you their names. There was a lot of friends. I can't name all of them, but I'm going to name some of them. Okay, are you ready? Do you all know any of the names? Yeah, it's kind of hard too. One of them, guess what church you're in right now? Saint, starts with a T. Thaddeus. So let's put him first. Jude Thaddeus. He was in there. And then you had Peter, who was also called Simon. You had Bartholomew. You had Matthew. I've got a cheat sheet here. You got James, who was a little bit younger, so they called him James the Less. And then you got James, who was a little bit older, so they called him James the Greater. And in this church, we have a John the Younger, John Wave, and we have a John the Greater. So we have that right here in this church. So here in the room, we had James the Greater, James the Younger. We had John and Philip. And we had Andrew. And there was even one, I like this one especially because he shares a name with my son, Simon. That's right. And they were all there in the room together. And they were scared because of what had happened to Jesus. But then, all of a sudden, this is the hard part to believe, because it's a crazy thing that happened. Jesus was there in the room with them. And Jesus took them out of the room, and they went to a mountain, and they called the mountain, the mountain was called Olivet. And they were there on the mountain, and Jesus said to them, he said, I must go away from you now, but I'm going to send a friend, a helper, a person to be with you. Jesus made that promise. And then all of a sudden, there was a cloud, and Jesus was taken up into the cloud. So they went back to the room, and they were really confused. They're like, what are we going to do? We don't know what to do. And they're like, well, we need a new partner because one of our people disappeared, a guy named Judas Iscariot. And so they named another guy named Matthias. So they had all 12 there in the room. And all of a sudden, there was this weird noise. It was like really loud. I'm going to try to make it. Are you ready? It's like a violent wind. And all of a sudden, they felt this burning feeling to tell the story about what God had done for them. And they went outside of the room. And the reason they did that is because they were really brave. And you remember all those people that spoke those different languages at the tower? They went to those people. And the people who they went to said that they saw fire on them. And that's why we have the color red. And they went and they told the story to all those people about the love that God had shown them with the person Jesus. And guess what? That's not where the story ends. So the people that they told about God's love told other people, and those people told people, and those people told people, and one day somebody told your grandparents about it, and your grandparents told your parents, and your parents told you. And now you get to tell the story about how wonderful God's love is in the person Jesus. And that's what Pentecost is all about. So I'm going to ask a couple questions. What do you think the coolest part of that story is? I wonder. You don't know? I don't know either. There's a lot of cool parts. There's a lot of strange parts. The wind noise and the light flickered. It's a Holy Spirit thing. Yeah. Yeah. It's still flickering up there. Yep. I wonder if we have everything we need to tell the story correctly. Is there anything we left out? I wonder who you are in that story. Are you in this story? I wonder if you told this story to somebody else, what would be the first part of it that you told? You don't have to answer any of those questions. I just wanted you to think about them and wonder with me about it. So thanks for helping me tell the story of Pentecost. All right, you can go back. You are released.
Place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Pergatha and Pathilmia, Egypt and parts of Libya, along with Cyrene and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They were filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judah and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your younger men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. To everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God said to Ezekiel, "These bones that are lying out here, they are my people, my chosen people. They say, they cry out, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely.' Ezekiel, prophesy to them and say, 'I am the Lord your God. I am going to open up your graves, bring you to life, and bring you back.' I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen." Somebody has to be in charge of not letting me forget that I put my bulletin right here. Somebody take that responsibility on. So I feel particularly qualified to preach to you on this occasion of Pentecost Sunday because I grew up a hybrid Christian. I was Pentecost one Sunday a month, and then Episcopalian next Sunday, and then the Sunday after that we went back to Pentecost Church. And it was like, you know, at the Episcopal Church it was communion and organ and old dead white guy music. And then we went over to the Pentecostal church, and it was like slain in the spirit, speaking in tongues. There were horns. I mean, it was really kind of jarring growing up. And my earliest memories of that was like, you know, so in a lot of Pentecostal settings, charismatic churches, what you'll have is somebody will speak in tongues, and then somebody else in the congregation will get the gift of interpreting that. So you get this sort of glossolalia, this speech that you can't really understand. And then you get somebody who then interprets that, and they're kind of yelling from wherever they are in the congregation. And when I was a kid, I thought they were arguing with each other. I thought they were in this fight. I was like, "Mom, you need to chill these people out. This is a little strange." And it wasn't until I got older that I realized, oh, something else is going on here. I think about this word Pentecost and how it lands on us. This morning, this guy named Jonathan brought barbecue to our church. And he said he grew up Lutheran. He and I sat and talked for probably too long because I had a lot to do. But I talked to him for a little while, and he was telling me that he grew up in this Lutheran church. And every Pentecost, they had a duncan booth for the pastor. I said, "Do not tell anybody that." So I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, it was this big celebration. It was like a birthday." So Pentecost, what are we to do with this weird word, Pentecost? Like Gracie yesterday, she was on her phone, not her phone, on Gretchen's phone. And she was looking up how this word was translated into different languages. Do you remember any of them? Pentecoste was one of them. I don't even remember what that was. But you were looking like at the Albanian word. And we found out that this word exists in like hundreds of languages. So what is it? What is Pentecost? What are we doing today? Why are you all dressed in red, for one? Just so you know, a little word of advice. If you have a friend who's getting ordained, they wear red when they get ordained. And you might be tempted to buy them a red stole for that occasion. Do not do that. Because this is the only day that they get to wear that red stole. This is like it. And so they need a green stole because that's an aside. It's not pertinent to the sermon. It's just something that you might want to know going forward in your own life. Green stole, that's the ticket because, I mean, you wear green all year. So, but I love this one. This one was made for me from a friend of mine for my ordination. And I get every year I get excited about wearing this in the chasuble that's red that she made. So what are we to do with this day? What are we to think about this day? So the cool thing about Pentecost is it's a mystery. And mysteries are not things that we cannot know. That's what you think a mystery is. You're thinking, mysteries are things, either that or a really bad novel. It's one of those two things, right? Mysteries are not things that we cannot know. That's not what a mystery is. A mystery is a thing that we have to learn how to know over and over and over and over again. That we can never stop knowing it. That we must know it in new ways every time we come in contact with it. And that means the mysteries of the churches are shrouded in these weird, sort of esoteric, strange stories about resurrection and talking snakes and people with fire on their heads proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Right? They're strange moments. The word Pentecost, like a lot of words, has an economy. And what I mean by that is it's taken on different meaning in different contexts. So growing up, the word Pentecost meant this people who worship in this specific way, that when we worship, we put our hands above our heads. That's part of it. Later, when there's one of those hymns going on, I need everybody to put their... You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. That's okay. That's all right. I'll do it. Vicky's going to do it. So... Pentecost also means, it's a Greek transliteration of a word that means 50. 50. It's 50 days after the Passover. That's the Jewish context. In the Christian context, it's 50 days after the Feast of Easter. It's the 50th day. So Pentecost is taken on. Pentecost also means like Holy Spirit, hope, fire. It's taken on this economy of meaning. I want to add to it because, you know, I like to complicate things. So maybe, just maybe, Pentecost is this moment, right, where we're moving from Easter. This is very liturgical and somewhat boring. We're moving into the season of Easter, into this ordinary time, into the season after Pentecost. The white season to the green season. It's a liminal space. And what I mean by that is it's like a doorway. It's something we're walking through. And the promise of Pentecost is as we move through that doorway, the Holy Spirit will descend upon us. And our job is to figure out, what does that mean? What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit descend upon us? Gretchen read Ezekiel. There was a vision that happened. The vision was of a bunch of bones laid out in the field. And the bones were so very dry. And the reason that they were dry in that vision was so that you know, as a reader of that vision, as a hearer of that vision, that these bones are very dead. Not just dead, but very dead. And even those bones are given the possibility of life. That is how radically God is committed to life. So Ezekiel has this vision. But we just get it in sort of this isolated story. We don't get the context. And this is where the sermon gets boring, and I'm sorry, but I need to give you the context. It's like in history class, this is where you're like, okay, I'm going to put my head on the desk for just a minute, right? So Ezekiel is a 6th century prophet in the BC. He was prophet over the house of Judah. Israel, the Holy Land, broken into two kingdoms, Judah in the south, Israel in the north. Israel had been conquered 200 years later by Persia. Judah was getting ready on the verge of being conquered by Babylon. Okay. But in Judah is Jerusalem and the house of the temple of the Lord. And Ezekiel is a priest in that temple. Okay, this is his role. He knows, because the Babylonians for the last decade leading up to this moment have been building siege ramps against different cities in the kingdom of Judah. I know you're bored. I know. This was like, when I was in college, I was like, I love this stuff, and I should teach this stuff. And then I looked over at my classmates, and they were all like half asleep, and I realized, I can't teach. Like, nobody cares about this stuff but me. So Babylon is slowly making its way towards the holy city of Jerusalem. And when they get there, they lay waste. They destroy almost everything. And they take the prominent folks, the people like Ezekiel, who have a position of power or wealth or prestige, and they march them north into modern-day Iraq, Iran, and to Babylon. And they're to be assimilated. That is, that's how they did it in the ancient world. That's how they conquered a people. They said, if we leave them there, then they'll keep doing their thing. It's like, if we leave the people in the south, they'll keep eating their grits. But if we take them out of the south, they won't eat grits anymore, and we can't have them eating grits anymore. Don't tell anybody I made light of the Babylonian exile, okay? Do not tell anybody that I compared the Babylonian exile to eating grits in the south. Please, let's just leave that in the room. Okay. So they take these people, Ezekiel included, out of Jerusalem and march them into Babylon to assimilate, to destroy their identity. Right? So this is the moment. And when that happens, Ezekiel is struck dumb. He can't speak. He's left speechless. So this is the hard part of the sermon for me. I have a hard time reading Ezekiel. I had a hard time studying it in seminary. I had a hard time reading it in EFM before seminary. And the reason I have a hard time with Ezekiel is because almost certainly, I mean, I don't know how you can read it and not get this. Ezekiel is suffering from some sort of psychosis, probably schizophrenia. And I grew up with two schizophrenic parents. And so the things that happened to Ezekiel happened to my parents. There are moments where Ezekiel can't collect the thoughts in his mind well enough to tell people what's going on. There are moments where he is catatonic and cannot speak to folks. There are moments when he's terrified about things that are not there. There are things when he's seeing and hearing things that are not there. There are times when he is paralyzed on his side and cannot move. All of these things happen to my parents. When I was little, my mother, she would, and this is the reason we stopped going to the Pentecostal church. Pentecostal church would tell her, the reason that you're having paranoid delusions is not because you're mentally ill, but it's because you have a demon. And so they would pray that demon out of her, and my mom would believe that she was healed, and so she would stop taking her medication. And things would go south very quickly. This happened over and over and over again when I was growing up. And I was so connected to my mother that I was usually the first person to realize something was wrong. The thing with schizophrenia is that paramount to people being stable is sleep, sleeping through the night. And so I remember when I was like 8 years old, I was either 7 or 8 years old, 4 in the morning, 3 in the morning, 3:30, something like that, I hear pots banging around in the kitchen. And I knew what was going on. So I got up and I went into the kitchen and I said, Mom, are you okay? What's going on? And she looked at me and she said, who let you into our house? So I knew in that moment that we were in a decline. So I went and woke up my father and tried to tell him what was going on. He ignored me, said, dismissed the whole idea, said, she's fine. She's just up cleaning in the kitchen. So I went out into the neighbor's house because I knew what would happen if we let my mom sort of spin out in this state. I mean, she would leave the house and do untold things. And so so I went to the neighbor's and at 4 in the morning, and I'm just, as a 7-year-old, I'm over there knocking on their door, asking them to help. And they call an ambulance. The ambulance comes and gets my mother. This happened a lot growing up. And so it's hard for me to read Ezekiel for that reason. Because I know that what happened to Ezekiel is sort of the same thing that would happen to my mother, is that some change, some trauma, some difficulty, some new thing, like when she was empty nested, this happened to her. When my father started his anger swings, this would happen. Some painful thing would happen to my mother, and she would devolve into this state. And this is what happened to Ezekiel. And so I wondered, as an adult person, where was the Holy Spirit? Where was God in these moments? Have you ever wondered something like that? Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever gone through something, experienced something, witnessed something, saw something, where you thought, where is God in this moment? This is what Pentecost is. It's a moment where you step through a door and the Holy Spirit descends on you. And for me, when I was little, what that looked like was that my mom would get better and she would be there for my birthday, and she told me that she loved me. She was there when I was writing a paper in middle school. I didn't know what I was doing, and she would help me. She was there when I graduated from high school, and I needed to know that the people that I love most supported me. She was there. She was there in those moments, and that was the Holy Spirit, and it was like a prophecy. When Ezekiel hears, when he's in Babylon, and a messenger comes to him and says to him, the temple has been destroyed, he's able to speak in that moment. And he tells them these visions that he's had. And the first vision that he speaks of is the valley of the dry bones. Death is upon us, but our God is a God of life. And that's what Pentecost is. It's the mystery of hearing the prophecy in the world around us, to know that God speaks into these horrible experiences, speaks life, love, happiness, joy, possibility into these horrible moments. That's what Pentecost is all about. So we, ladies and gentlemen, sisters and brothers, we must hear the prophecy. That's what it's about. We must hear the prophecy. We must hear the disciples descend from the upper room terrified to proclaim what Jesus has done in their life. That's what we must do. And so to the young man who escaped poverty and goes back to that situation to mentor young kids, we must hear his prophecy. To the people who are victims of violence and speak words of forgiveness and love, we must hear that prophecy. For the people who are fighting day by day to not be addicted to opioids or drugs or alcohol through day by day, we must hear the prophecy. To people who say, the church might be changing, but ladies and gentlemen, the church will not die, we must hear that prophecy. A couple weeks ago, my mother had a bladder issue, and that drove her off of her medication, and she descended again into this state. And so I went up there for a couple days and was with her, and Casey came up and brought Simon. And I was wondering again in that moment, where is God? Where is God? This woman has lived this horrible, difficult, terrible life. She got diagnosed with schizophrenia as a teenager. She set her curtains on fire as a 12-year-old at her parents' house. She's been dealing with mental illness. She's lived this hard life. Where is God? And my wife put my son into her arms, and tears fell into her face, and a big smile came across. And there it was, the Holy Spirit, the prophecy. We have a radical God of life. We must prophesy and be prophesied to. Amen. Please stand. Through the Paschal mystery, dear friends, we are buried with Christ by baptism into his death. We are raised with him to newness of life. I call upon you, therefore, to renew the solemn promises and vows of holy baptism, by which we once renounced Satan and all his works, and promised to serve God faithfully in his holy Catholic Church. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven
and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
Will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers?
Will you persevere in resisting evil, and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord?
Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ?
Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself?
Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every person?
I will, with God's help.
May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit and bestowed upon us the forgiveness of sin, keep us in eternal life by his grace. In Christ Jesus our Lord we pray. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Wave at each other. So I'm going to make a couple of announcements, and then I want to start by saying a big thank you to choir and to Andy and Linda, who have worked really hard to bring some live music into the desert of live music that we've been in for the last year. So thank you for that. It's just lovely. It's just lovely today. After this service, there's tons of food. We might need some of your help to carry food from the kitchen out. There's tables set up outside, but there's a lot of food. There's a lot of food to share. There's barbecue. There's baked beans. There's lots of desserts. There's good stuff. I made blackberry pie. Just going to do a long pause right there. So there's food to enjoy. Just so you know, I'm going to be working with the worship teams in the next couple of weeks to talk about the new CDC recommendations and see what we can do about the protocols and getting rid of masks and how we might amend our plan around that. And that we're working hard to move towards a more permanent worship schedule. And so thank you for your patience in this time. And the vestry is working hard and the worship teams are working hard to figure all this stuff out. And they'll want to talk to you about it. So be on the lookout for opportunities to have conversations with the vestry, with me, with the worship teams. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High.
Spirit, come, bring your fire, all our pain will inspire. Holy wind, holy fire, show the Savior's glory, tell the ancient story. Spirit, come in wet, Spirit, come in flame, come in wind, come in flame, tell again the story.
Spirit, come in the flame, to your people proclaim, Christ our God, let me came. Come in flame,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, in fulfillment of his true promise, the Holy Spirit came down on this day from heaven, lighting upon the disciples to teach them and to lead them into all truth, uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of one faith, and giving to your church the power to serve you as a royal priesthood and to preach the gospel to all nations. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days, you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death.
We proclaim his resurrection.
We await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Thaddeus, Alban, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Thank you.
Here in a minute, you're going to lift that up. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
Body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation.
The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation.
Oh.
Let us pray together. Eternal God,
Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food and the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord.
Go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. In the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon you this Pentecost Sunday and remain with you always. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go forth into the world to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come eat some grits.